For too long, the fertility market has been bewildering, overwhelming, and frankly, I think has downright ignored the needs and difficult experiences of the people they're supposed to be serving. Ovum has made it their mission to change this completely. Now, I am extremely choosy about who I promote on this podcast because I'm very protective of my listeners and audience, which is why you've probably only ever heard one spoken ad like this before. So it's with complete confidence, excitement, and pride that I can share this amazing company with you. Ovum care about you, truly. From creating products to support conception and fertility that are designed by doctors and backed by the latest science without cutting any corners, from adding access to meditations I've personally written and recorded inside their pregnancy test boxes, Ovum is founded by individuals who've navigated infertility themselves. I really couldn't be more proud to partner with them and tell you about them. Ovum is driven by the belief that everyone who is trying to conceive deserves better, and I am 100% behind this ethos. So head over to startwithovum.com and use code LIFERAFT10 for 10% off their tests and supplements.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello and welcome to Fertility Life Raft. I don't know why I'm sitting here like already laughing. I'm joined this evening with the lovely Connie and Mike. And I'm really, really grateful to them because I really wanted to, for Valentine's Day, I wanted to speak to a couple who were going through fertility stuff right now. Because it's all very well, like hearing from, you know, someone like me who's kind of been through it and then got lots of transformative mindset coaching stuff that I can share, but sometimes you just really need to connect and hear from people who are in it right now and listen to what is coming up for them. So I'm really grateful to both of you for saying that you'll do this with me. So hi, how are you?
Hi, you're so welcome. Thank you so much for having us.
Yeah,
Mike is absolutely thrilled to be making his podcast debut with
making
you.
My podcast debut. Just before we start, am I the only one that does? I said to Connie before we started. When you listen to a podcast, do you ever pause it and then speak like what you would say if you were on the podcast?
I was like, no.
I do it all the time. If I'm driving and I'm listening to a podcast, I'll pause it and then just like act like I'm like in the studio and like say my little bit and then
so
like
Mike
carry
has
on.
Been role playing. He's been playing make believe podcast
for years.
What you're actually telling me is that I am fulfilling a dream of yours here.
Yeah, but... literally, yeah. All that time of just talking to myself in the car. Pretending I'm on a podcast. And now
this is your moment. This is your big moment. So this is literally your moment. Connie,
it's a dream come true.
Apart from the infertility part.
Yeah. At what cost?
Not that great, to be clear.
Not so fun. Yeah, not dream, so yeah. Fun. But listen, tell the listeners who you are and how we met, in fact, Connie. Should we start there? And then I want to hear from Mike because it's his dream.
Yes, then Mike can really have the stage. So yeah, I'm Connie and I am a woman trying to get pregnant, but I've sort of weirdly been working in this space for the last sort of like 5 or 6 years. I run my own business. I work in, like, I won't bore you with that, it's not a work podcast, but marketing and content and all this sort of stuff, but all of my clients are reproductive health and fertility. So I've been talking about this stuff without experiencing it for a really long time. And that's how I met Alice, through some of my client work. And then now I'm on the other side, or sort of in it, and it's really strange. And there's lots of benefits to it because I have wonderful people in my life like Alice, who I have on speed dial and can talk to about it. But it's also the ignorance is bliss thing is kind of really, my bubble was burst really early doors. So it's interesting. And it's, I guess that's who I am before we get into fertility stuff. And then this is my husband.
Hi, yes, hello, I'm Mike. I am a paramedic. work in Brighton, originally from Essex, grew up dreaming of being on a podcast, and now here we are. Yeah, we met, it'd be 11 years in February that
yeah,
we first met.
We've been talking about time.
Oh, this is literally your like anniversary month that we're going to do.
Yes. Yeah, we met at the end of February. 11 years. God, it's really, it's quite a long time actually, isn't it?
Yeah, a long time.
And then we got married about 18 months ago. Yeah. So, and we live in Brighton and we have a dog.
I just have to interrupt because my uncle was a paramedic for years and all my family's from Essex. And as you were talking, I was like, I feel like there's some weird synchronicities going on here.
So Mike has delivered quite a lot of babies. So there's a weird amount of vagina chat that happens in our house actually with both of our careers.
That is really interesting though, isn't it? Because you're coming from both of you coming from it with like quite a lot of knowledge in different areas and then have found yourselves here. So let's talk about that. So you got married about 18 months ago. Yeah. When did you start trying?
So we were sort of talking about this. I feel like at the start, it's always a bit like, when did we actually start trying? But I would say we spent the vast majority of 2023 trying for a baby.
Yeah.
Do you say? And like...
Yeah, about a year, I would say.
Yeah. And we got married... If you can take it back before we were trying, because I think this will resonate with people as well. That, like, do you remember we our wedding got moved because of the pandemic. So then we were like, oh, well, we'll just try for a baby straight after them because we've already lost a year, quote unquote. And then that sort of time came around and we were like, actually... But a really stressful year, let's just enjoy being married for a bit. And you sort of, I don't want to say put it off, but you kind of think, yes, we want a baby and yes, we're ready in theory, but actually is now the perfect time? No, let's wait another couple of months. Actually, should we go on that holiday? Let's wait another couple of months.
Yeah, so, we were waiting for the right time, and the house we bought in Brighton needed like stuff doing to it as well. So obviously we didn't want to try for a baby, get pregnant, and then like the house be like a building site, and that'd be like really stressful. So we were like, let's get the house sorted first, enjoy like married life for a bit.
But that's the cruel irony of it, isn't it? Because you before you start trying, there is this chance that you're going to get pregnant that first time. So you're sort of like, let's make sure that if we do get pregnant, then everything's in place and you're trying to control it all.
And we kind of just spoke about it like as if it was like a Sainsbury's delivery slot, like, oh, we'll push it back to next week, like, as if once we decide, then it will just happen straight away. We were quite naive in that sense, I think, because we were just like, oh, no, we'll try. I tell you what, if we don't try yet, if we try like next September and then we'll have the baby like the year after, then that'll be that'll work better for us, I think, if we do that.
And being like, oh, we won't do it this month because we don't want a Christmas baby, and like all of this stupid stuff that you're like, oh god, you had no idea it was going to take you this long. But
that's interesting. But also, like, given that you have had obviously worked, because I was listening to something on radio, it was a clip shared from Women's Hour on Radio 4, where there was someone basically saying, you know, there's so many people talking about fertility now that now people are getting scared to try because they think that they're going to have problems, which I was a bit like, not sure that's exactly what's happening here. I think it's good to talk about fertility. But at the same time, I kind of got what she meant. But was there any part of you that thought that perhaps there might be issues, or there was?
I was going to say, I was practicing as I promised not to talk over my husband. I don't think we were naive, because I think with my work, there was, and not maybe naive is the wrong word, but I think it's like, well, of course there's a chance. And I guess the important thing to maybe flag is, whilst I have all this knowledge about fertility, I had been testing my hormones throughout the last few years because I've had access to that. I don't have any previous conditions like PCOS or endo or things that though. So there were no super obvious red flags that we were thinking about.
Yeah.
And I guess we were kind of like, oh, it definitely could take a lot longer, but it also can just happen. And we'd had quite a few friends, hadn't we, that it had happened like on their honeymoon or so I think it was this constant juggle in our minds of like, it could take years, it could happen the first time. So we were trying to play God and be like, when's the right time? And actually
we're trying to like cover our backs and just be like, oh well, we better not try too soon in case it does happen straight away.
But you do, don't you, because it's obviously a huge thing, so you do want to make sure things are your ducks in a row, but at the same time then it's just it's a head fuck from like the second
I think from the second you decide we are ready, it then the shift was so dramatic for me. In fact, I don't even know if I actually told you, but like, I
about to have a revelation.
No. But a few months before we sort of were like, yes, okay, you know, whatever. There was some like milestones in the house. We were like, once like this wall is plastered, like yeah. we can have a baby. And my period was late, and I did a pregnancy test a couple of months before that point, and it was negative. But at that point, I was thinking, oh my God, if this is positive, this is going to be a nightmare. And in the space of 2 months, it went from, oh, this will be a nightmare, to like, I want this to happen now. Like this, yeah, and yeah. then. And yeah. then every negative pregnancy test after that was heartbreaking, but it was just that shift.
Do you know, as a like mindset person, this really fascinates me, because it's like what's going on is just all that's happened there is a shift, is a mindset yeah. shift of I'm not ready for a baby, too. Okay, I'm ready for a baby. Nothing mm-hmm. actually has changed externally, and it's just such an interesting thing that happens in our minds, isn't it?
Yeah. You spend like so much of your young adult life. Like as soon as you become sexually active, up until like a certain point, all you're doing is thinking, you know, I hope I don't get him pregnant. Yeah. Like, I hope she's not pregnant. I better not. Like, do you know what I mean? And now that's completely changed, and you just want that complete opposite. And it's not ironic, because obviously when you're 18, you don't want to be,
yeah,
you know, going around impregnating everyone you sleep with. But there is definitely a shift where you think, yeah. oh, now like the thing I've been trying to like avoid for so long is now like the thing I want more than anything in the world.
And the shift was dramatic, I would say. And I think yeah. that's actually partly the reason, and we've spoken about this, Alice, like that I wanted to start sharing my story more publicly, because I was like, there's so many amazing people sharing their story, and they're sort of got these stories which are so difficult and full of loss and years of trying and years of treatment. But then when I found that I was really upset, even 2 months in, I thought, oh my God, I'm being so dramatic. Like, this is so silly. This is the time it should be fun. You know, this, all this sort of narrative. And then as soon as I shared one thing saying, I'm finding this really hard and I'm really early on, I had all these messages from people saying that they felt the same. And mm-hmm. I was like, oh God, I think this is a thing. Like, as soon as your mindset shifts, and it does become, as you said, a head fuck from the start, basically.
Totally, exactly that. And that is really something that I think, well, we've spoken about it a lot, and I mention it quite a lot, because people come into my world, into the Life Raft, which I run, and they're like, oh, I don't know if I, like, you know, deserve to be here. And I'm like, yes, you fucking do. Like, if you're trying to have a baby and it's, for whatever reason, affecting your mood, your mind, your ability to make plans, anything, which it does, then of course, yes, come in. And the whole comparison with what other people have been through, or like whether you deserve support, is just nonsense. You just really have to be where you are right now. So you started trying. And so for pretty much the year of 2023, yeah. nothing was happening. That's sort of amazing that you'd already been kind of doing these hormone tests as well. Like, so you really actually weren't naive. You did have a good grounding knowledge of that. Yeah. And you had got, you know, you knew that things from your perspective were okay. And what about Mike? Had there been any pre-testing going on there? Or tell me a bit more.
Yeah, I'd done an at-home test.
That was okay.
And it was fine. Yeah, it wasn't like perfect, but it was okay. There was nothing coming up that was making me think, oh my God, like, there was something that was a bit like suboptimal.
I think,
and then I did one a little while later and it was better. I remember being really happy that it was better.
I think a year before we tried, something was not quite right, and then you happened to do one just as we started trying, and actually things had improved, so you were kind of like, great.
Yeah, before Connie had started working in these, like with these clients and in that sort of space, I'd never really thought of it before. I'd never considered, like, oh, I wonder what my sperm health's like. I wonder if we'd ever have trouble conceiving. I always just assumed that, like, it would be fine and, you know, there weren't going to be any issues. So, yeah, you hadn't worked with those clients and said, oh, we've got this, like... And you kind of became really knowledgeable about it all, didn't you? Like, all the, you know, potential issues there can be, and, like, certain, like, risk factors in terms of lifestyle and stuff that can affect it. Like, I used to smoke, drink alcohol, so, like, knowing that all those things were, you know, potential stumbling blocks was an eye-opener.
Well, yeah, because I think I think right up until pretty much last year, I would say, it was still not really given the spotlight that it needed. I really feel like last year was quite a turning point in terms of sperm health and talking about it, like, oh yeah, there like needs to be two people that can make this baby. But things are changing. So that's actually amazing that you had access to that knowledge and that you already did a test and you kind of had those that groundwork in place. So I suppose in a way you must have gone into it thinking this is probably going to be fine, like this Or did you?
I think that we were aware, or like I was aware through work, and you were aware through my work, this kind of like osmosis of knowledge, that you're never 100% right. But as I sort of said, there weren't glaringly obvious red flags that were like, right, this is going to be a problem. Which, you know, the irony of it is, and I'm sure you have some thoughts on this, Alice, but like, I know I have so many friends who, for example, have PCOS, and they were told it's going to be really hard for you to have a baby. And they've been carrying that for their whole life and worrying so much. And then actually they've got pregnant naturally, because it is completely possible to get pregnant naturally with these various conditions. So, but I'd never had someone say, you have this thing, it's going to be hard for you to get pregnant. And neither had Mike. So I guess in that way, we went in kind of going like, well, like, we've got, it's all to play for, right? Like, it's all there. It should be okay. And also, I guess the knowledge that I did have as well is around like cycle tracking. I think that was a big thing, you know, that I understood about the fertile window. I understood like my fertile signs. I knew about this stuff. So we started to like track my temperature and all that kind of thing, kind of cranked that up a notch. But I guess I was coming from a base of knowledge that was slightly higher than maybe just like your average woman trying to get pregnant. And we started using like sticks, and they just do not work for me. And that's not me saying don't use them. I'm not here to tell anyone what to do. But for me, like, it doesn't work. They get it wrong all the time. So I think that there's been...
There goes the sponsorship deal.
I can edit it.
I think they're great.
I think they're brilliant.
Yeah. Sorry, I hope you're not sponsored by the You can cut this out. You can cut this out if you want. But for me,
no, it's good.
They don't work. And I think like that's the thing. Like, we had a few months where we were sort of like misfiring, shall we say?
Yeah.
We were like, literally, we've got it. And then we were like, oh no, like, we haven't. And then we were like, oh, no, actually, I thought I ovulated here, but I ovulated over here. And
there were a few months where we were like, is there an issue, or are we just getting the time?
Yeah, that's
like,
it.
Like, is there actually a problem with my sperm or with Con, or is it just that we've been trying to track the right times and we've just not been having sex when Con's been ovulating? Is it just down to that? But then there's been times where we're pretty sure we have got the timing right and it still not happened. So, and that's a bit of a head fuck as well, isn't it? Because you kind of think you're almost looking for other reasons that aren't us. Oh, it's not us. It's just that we got the timing wrong. Like, it's not.
Yeah.
And you're almost sort of hopefully like looking for alternative reasons that it could be not happening.
But I guess that is where we started to, I would say, differ in our approach. And I think our, I don't know if it's a gender thing or a personality thing, but I would say like after a couple of months, like that's when we started to kind of like deal with it differently, I suppose, in terms of I threw myself into like, right, like, let's figure this out. Because like, that's how I am. And I'm like, right, let's do this, let's do that, let's do this, blah, blah, blah. And you were a bit like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Like, you were involved, but I think you were a bit like, let's just like relax. Let's just like, you know, like enjoy ourselves. Let's not put too much pressure on. And like,
but then that's us down to a T, isn't it? Yeah. In terms of our group stores, everything.
Yeah.
Like, I've got to do this. Like, let's get it done. Blah, blah, blah. And I'm just sort of like, well, yeah, you know, but you know, we'll do it later.
Or we could sit down and watch a bit of telly.
Yeah, I like relaxing.
But I think, you know, we laugh about it, but there are loads of people actually, and we sort of said before I was chatting to you, we asked, you know, what questions you've got about how people are navigating this as a couple. And I think that because people do approach things differently, and often it is this way around, don't want to gender stereotype, but this is what happens a lot of the time. But that, you know, that is, it can be a personality thing as well. But I think, how did you manage that? Connie, did that annoy you? Or was it okay?
We had some fairly big arguments. I think we have talked about it a lot, haven't we? Because I think what we sort of said is fertility struggles, I don't know if they create new problems, but I think they really shine a light on like, and every couple has issues, right? Even the happiest couples, you're like, oh, okay, things are great, but like there's these certain things that annoy me about them, or we clash on. And I think that we've said, you know, I think fertility struggles highlight the worst of your relationship and the best, you know, like I think it brings you closer and it stretches you as well. And for us, I think, like, as you sort of said there, anything that's sort of project-based, we just have really different approaches to it. And I'm not saying that having a baby is a project, but like kind of is, like after a while, it kind of is a bit of a project.
Yeah, you've got to put a lot of thought and planning around
and effort.
Planning around it when you're actually, when trying becomes like not so straightforward, then it does take a lot of planning in terms of like finding time, making sure.
Having a test done, having this done.
Totally. Yeah, I think you're right, yeah.
But I think it's kind of like we always say, we're kind of actually, if you think of like yin and yang energy, like I'm almost more like the yang masculine and you're a bit more of the feminine. You're like so good at comforting and so good at being like, and we joke about, let's just sit down and relax, but actually being like, right now we need to drop everything, work, fertility, and whatever, and just be together and relax and look after each other. You're really good at that. Whereas I'm like, let's keep pushing, let's keep doing stuff.
Mm.
And actually in a fertility journey, you need both, because I burnt myself out. And I think by extension, you at points last year of just like, got to keep pushing for this. We've got to do all these tests. We've got to get that appointment. And I got into a really bad place, like mentally. And so then that was great, because Mike was there to be like the balm of like, right, cancel everything, cancel your day at work. We're just going to go out and have a walk and have brunch and look and let me look after you. I'm bashing him for not being organised, but I just wanted to go on record that he's a very good husband.
I think that is really actually lovely, because it's also shining a light on like, you're right, you do need both. And someone, you know, and if you're in it, if you are in a partnership, if you are doing this in a couple, like recognizing what that other person is actually bringing to the project is really helpful, because otherwise, yeah, I definitely got into a place with Si. He doesn't mind me talking about this. I've been talking about it for years now. He's fine. Where exactly the same thing happened. I was very like, right, come on, you know, let's do all of the things and all of the things and all of the things. And actually what I found was that I was making lots of lifestyle changes. I was changing the way I ate. I was researching. I felt very much like I was doing it all, and he wasn't. And I was like, hello, doing everything here. And we don't really argue. We are one of those really annoying couples. We've been together for a very long time, very long time. And I just screamed at him one night. I was just like, no, I can't do this anymore. I literally lost the plot. But also, you know, sometimes that kind of has to happen, doesn't it? In a relationship, you sort of have to really be truthful with each other. And sometimes that might come out in a fucking massive fight. And actually, sometimes that's okay.
Like being different like that as well, like Connie said, sort of yin and yang, means that we both have different strengths
that
can counteract each other's weaknesses as well. Whereas if we were both the same and we were both like, right, let's do it, then it would just be fucking chaos, because we'd both be burning ourselves out and then both just have no one, the other person not there to like bring us back down if we were both like that all the time. So I kind of think, and then equally, if we were both like me, nothing would ever get done, ever. It's nice to have, like,
I think,
you know, we kind of complement each other quite well, and sometimes that means that we clash, and other times it means that we complement each other. But
yeah.
Overall, it works quite well, doesn't it?
Our marriage. I think that something that maybe, and I had some, you know, me and I was put up question boxes, and there were quite a lot of people talking about how their partners won't talk to them about their feelings, and I'd say that like, we don't really have that issue. And if anything, we're both very emotional and very want to talk about our feelings.
Yeah.
But then I think like that's really difficult and actually I was talking to Hannah Pern. I went and had acupuncture with her, and she was chatting to me, and she was like, you know, I was saying we were in a really tough spot, and it feels like that we're both feeling like the biggest emotions we've ever felt, and we both love each other so much, but we literally can't like help each other.
Yeah.
And Hannah was just like, yeah, she was like, this is why I recommend everyone to go to couples therapy. She's like, because most situations in life, if one of your parents dies or one of you loses a job, or, you know, yes, it impacts both of you, but there is someone who is struggling and someone that's like, I can find my strength here to like be there for this person. We've had times where like, literally I'm like crying and you're crying and we're looking at each other and you're like, I want to look after you, but I literally have nothing in my cup to give.
Yeah.
And I'm looking at you like, I'm desperate for you to be there for me, but I know you're probably just feeling exactly the same.
Yeah.
And it's just horrible.
Yeah.
Like, it's so horrible to be in that situation with the person you love.
Oh my God, that's such a great point. And I think we haven't had any practice at that, have we? Like you, this is the first time usually that a couple experiences this like, oh God, we're both feeling this right now. Like, how do we support each other? What do you, so that's really great though, that you are both talkers, because that means that there is that element of communication all the time happening. Because as you said, like when we asked on our question boxes, and lots of people saying that actually our men don't want to talk about it, or they don't have that network. Do you also have a support network, Mike, or do you feel the need for that? Do you chat to your friends? Where do you get your support?
Yeah, there's a friend I've made in Brighton who's going through a similar thing at the moment. So we've been able to have a few chats about it, and even just sort of jokey things like comparing what supplements we take and stuff like that just makes you feel less sort of like alone with it. So you'd be like, oh, take that one. Oh, well, yeah, I take this version of it. Oh, right, and then we're just sort of joking around with stuff like that. But other than that, not really. I mean, most of my friends have either got kids or aren't bothered about having kids or aren't in the time of their life where they're going to have kids. So I've certainly never had a friend that's come to me and said, oh, I'm going through the same thing as you, actually. But then having said that, I share a lot of the stuff that Connie puts on her Instagram and stuff, and it's quite open about us trying for a baby and it not happening. And people have got in touch and been like, oh mate, like hope you're okay here if you need to talk, sort of thing. But part of me is like, well, you don't really know what it's like, so I don't really you won't really know what to say, and I don't expect them to know what to say, and that's fine. But I wouldn't sort of go to a friend that's got like two kids and be like, oh yeah, actually I'm really down about not being able to have a baby. I think the fact that me and Connie speak so openly about it, I've never felt like alone and thought, oh my God, like I want to talk to someone about it, but I can't.
I do feel like women lean on our support network so much more. And especially, I'm so lucky because not all women do. I've had people I've met that are like, oh, I'm going through this and I haven't told anyone, like not even my mum, not even whoever. But because of my work, I do have like a ready-made support network, which is so lucky. And because of that, I feel like you get almost like a diluted version of my emotions, which like is still pretty strong. So like imagine like how insane I would be if I didn't have that. But I feel like with women, like we do, because our partners don't always have that support network or lean on it, I think like we are then often carrying like a double emotional like a lot of your emotions like I have to carry as well, and this will get him brought up in that. Mike's like, oh God, I thought this was gonna be fun, and I'm like, what's the thing? What's the thing?
Basically, Mike, I'm carrying everything here.
Yeah, but I just think it's just an interesting thing of like, again, not to stereotype, but men and women, how we deal with things differently, and we talk to our friends differently and stuff. Because you went out with your best friend in the whole world who knows what's going on the other day, and I was like, did he ask you about it? Did you like talk about it? Did you like? And he's just like, you're like, well, yeah, he sort of mentioned it, but it was sort of like, it'll be all right. And like that's like the end of it.
I
Whereas like
love
I'd go with my friends and be like 2 hours of like analyzing like all the stuff going on, and like
It's just,
it's
yeah,
just
again, it's
different.
like stereotypical, but I think that is the difference, because I think we spoke about it very briefly, but it was basically like, oh, you still, how's it going having a baby? Oh no, still not there yet. Oh, that's a bit shit, isn't it? Yeah, it's a bit shit actually. Did you watch the Spurs game on Thursday? And then you just go on to something else. It's not because I'm not arsed or I don't care, but it's just my way of dealing with it isn't having to like always verbalize and have like deeper meaningfuls, whereas you love a deeper meaningful, don't
I
you?
love it. But has listening to Sean and Kieran's podcast helped you, do you think? Because I think that's like
Yeah, I'll pause that a couple of times and join in with it. Yeah, that's been really good actually. Just to know that you're not going through it on your own.
just hearing stories like how
That's
I
it.
heard your story, Alice, and all these other amazing people. I think it's so great that we do have men now starting to talk about it.
Yeah.
And you are now one of those men. In this podcast, you've become a guy that is talking
Yeah.
about it. So that's maybe you'll help someone who's talking about it.
Maybe.
You will undoubtedly, actually, because whoever does hear this, and hi to the listeners, people really do find it comforting to know that there are lots and lots of others feeling the same. And yeah, the support is getting better for men, I think, isn't there? I mean, yeah, Sean's doing a great job, knackers. If you don't follow him, he's also been on this podcast and is a great guy. And there's other stuff out there. I need to list it in the show notes. Would you, I mean, is it the sort of thing? I'm sorry to go on about this. Just interested. Like, would you join like a male fertility support group on Facebook? Is that the kind of thing that you would do? Or is it just not? Do you think it's just really not your vibe?
I don't think it's my vibe, really. I've always been like Connie said, very emotional. I've never been one to sort of bottle up my emotions or hide my emotions or have that, you know, like sort of toxic masculinity where like, you know, I'm all right, I can't like, mm-hmm. can't act like I'm upset. So I think because of that, I've never really felt like I need a release to be able to like realise in myself how I feel or tell other people how I feel. I can see why it would work for people, because I think if they are a bit like that, where they're a bit like they're a bit closed off and they're not ones to sort of pay attention to how they're feeling or tell anyone else how they're feeling, then I think it can be quite beneficial. But I've never really
felt that. Yeah. It's so interesting, like how differently men and women do tend to deal with it. And again, massively gender stereotyping here. Sorry, but yeah, it's interesting. So where are we at now with everything? So it's been about a year or so. And what, have you been for further investigations? What's the latest?
So we finally got an appointment with our doctor. So I'll be completely honest, and you can cut this out if you want, Alice, but like we had been trying less than a year when I went to the doctor, because I think it's just absolutely ludicrous that you're expected to wait a whole year.
I agree.
And I'm so glad that we did do that a few months early, because it took months to get any like FaceTime with our doctor. And like,
I so sorry to interrupt, but I just wanted to say I went the first month that we started trying.
Oh my god.
Literally the first month, because I did have like very irregular cycles, so I had that, and yeah. I just didn't care. I was like, well, those are the guidelines, but no thank you.
The irony is, when I called them, I had a regular cycle, and by the time I saw them, my cycle had gone absolutely everywhere. So they were like, why didn't you come soon? I was like, it was fine, and now I'm so stressed I can't get an appointment. And we're not NHS bashing, like obviously Mike works in NHS, like we're so lucky that we can even have this for free, but it's a broken, underfunded system, as you know all too well.
Yeah.
And you know, we, and also like I'm going into the GP like I know loads of stuff, like I'm going to tell you exactly why I want to get tested and like why I want it tested, and you know, so they were like, oh. But yeah, so we went and got those initial investigations, and mine came back okay, fine. I think they're suboptimal from a hormonal perspective, and my cycle is irregular, right? So I'm like, something is going on. But from a doctor's perspective, they were like, you're fine. And I was like, what about this like estrogen that's right on the border? And they're like, no, like it's cool. And I'm like, okay. I was like, I think I'm gonna go and investigate this a bit further. And then you had a sperm test.
Yeah, I had a sperm test, and then the results came back from that and they weren't very good, which was really gutting. I took that quite hard actually, because I think initially, because we'd had a couple of at-home ones and they seemed to be okay, but then obviously the ones you get through the GP that get sent off to a lab are a lot more in depth, and they came back and there were a couple of aspects of it that were really sort of suboptimal, to the point where sort of I fell into a bit of like a Google, I say to patients never Google it, but I Googled it, and it was basically saying, you know, with this level of this and this level of that, like your chances of conceiving are slim or low. So then that hit me really hard, didn't it? I went into a bit of a sort of downward spiral and was really, really down about it.
I think that was really the start of like a really rough few months for me and you.
Yeah.
From a relationship perspective, like I think that was really hard, because kind of like I remember my overriding feeling when like you were upset was like, I just wished it was me that had got those sorts of results, because I just feel like, kind of like you said about the personality thing, like I would have maybe still been upset, but I would have maybe just dealt with it in a way that I'm like, I'm going to like do all this stuff and I'm going to take control of it. I'm going to fix it, because I'm a fixer. And you're a bit more like, I think, get overwhelmed by stuff like that, which is not like overwhelmed, but I think you just didn't know what to do and felt quite down. And I think that was just really horrible to see you upset. Like I just hated it. Like it was just the absolute worst.
I always found it really confusing when you'd have a test result and then a few months later that the test results seemed to be different or worse or whatever. Because I just remember going, I was naive when I went into all of this. And I just remember thinking, well, you either, you know, are fertile or you're not. And actually what I've learned is that is really not the case. Like it's really...
Especially on the male side of things, things can change like really dramatically, both good and bad.
Yeah. So what's happened? So when did those results? When did you get those results?
That was October.
Okay.
And then I spoke to you. Put me in touch with Ian, didn't you?
Ian Stones.
Stones, lovely guy. We had a Zoom call with each other and kind of went through what my results were, what my lifestyle was like, sort of And then he went into a lot of detail about like things I could change, things to stop doing, things to avoid, things to start doing. And I found that really helpful. And the fact that your sperm health can change within like a few months of making changes, you can see a big difference. That has always been like a comfort, because I've always thought, well, this isn't the be all and end all. This isn't how my sperm's always going to be. There's ways of improving it. So cutting down on alcohol, I'm not drinking alcohol at all, cutting out processed foods, you know, all that kind of stuff. We spoke about it in quite a lot of detail. And he basically said, I think if you make all these changes and you stick to it for a prolonged period of time, then in 3 months' time, you could be looking at very different results.
That's kind of where we're at. But in the meantime, and I'm going to get in my soapbox here now about like how misogynistic the fertility situation is. But so we go to the doctor and they're like, okay, we're going to refer you to a fertility clinic because you've been trying for nearly a year. The sperm health is suboptimal. So that's it. But it's like, okay, so what does that involve? Oh, well, you'll be having dye flush with your fallopian tubes and you'll be having this done and this and this done, which I'm fine. So I'm like, let's investigate everything. But it is just so bad how then...
It sounds rubbish.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I just have to wank into a pot.
Yeah, and it's like,
I don't have anything put up me. I don't have any dyes put into me. I don't have any potting and poking me.
Exactly.
And you really do get the rough end of the stick.
And I just think that it's like, I'm all for doing all that, but there is so much more that we need to investigate about male fertility that just isn't funded from the NHS. And we're going privately, actually, for further investigations into sperm health.
Yeah.
And again, like... I don't run the budget or the NHS, so I'm sure there's like reasons why things happen. But I think that there is just this historical thing where we think let's investigate the woman first. It's like, do you know, like a man could like wank into a cup once and you could test that thing for all these different things. Like, you know, you're going to get like a bacterial like semen culture one, because I've heard horror stories of people going through IVF and then finding out their partner had an infection that could have been cleared up with antibiotics and no one investigated it. So I think, again, because of my work, I'm lucky that I'm like, right. And that's what I mean. It's like, I'm really upset. And I'm like, I hear you're upset, but I want you to go and wank into more cups, please. I don't know if Alice wanted people to say wank so much on her podcast.
Well, you've spoken a lot about wanking on this podcast. Even with Dr. Larissa spoke about masturbation for women.
Okay, great.
It's really an open book, as we the fertility podcast.
Terms of where we are at right now, we are waiting for my referral to come through from the fertility clinic to go and get bits and bobs put up me. And you're due to do another test, and I feel a resistance from you. And I think that you're a bit scared.
I'm not scared.
Understandably.
I've got another test to do from the GP again, like the same one as I did before, just because we felt like it would be good to have two to kind of make an average from.
Mm.
Yeah, I could do it whenever, because it's just a case of you have all the paperwork with it and you send it off to the lab. But it's not that I'm scared of doing it. I just think I'm still making these changes, and I don't think there's been enough time between that one and this one in terms of like being a lot healthier.
Mm.
I don't see the point in doing it yet.
But you are doing it.
When?
After this fertile window closes.
After this podcast.
No. I'm currently ovulating if the podcast wants to know that. So like I'm just
yeah.
I'm like, no, you can't go anything in cups at the minute.
Oh no.
it's
not what not.
So you're still trying, like at the moment you're still trying.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
I think we're sort of the people that are sat here right now are different people to the Connie and Mike from November. That was like really dark place vibes. You know, I don't know whether it's like a new year reset or the fact that we've recovered from the trauma, you know, small t trauma of getting those results. And I think like that just sent us into like a really dark place for about a couple of months. And I think now we're sort of like, okay, we didn't get pregnant in 2023 and that's what we thought. And now I feel like we've got like 12 months to play with. We're like, we're going to get pregnant this year. And I feel like that's giving me a lot of hope.
I think the thing last year as well was the year before, so Christmas 2022, all the chat was like, oh, this will be our last Christmas. Like next Christmas, you'll either be pregnant or we'll have a baby. So this is our last. And then Christmas rolled around and we were just like both really deflated. Like, oh, like we said to ourselves that we'd be pregnant or have a kid. And but we haven't. So it was just really, whereas now we've kind of, I think we've learned not to try and plan ahead like that and think ahead of things.
I think I'm kidding myself that that's what I'm trying to work out. I'm like, has my mindset changed or am I kidding myself? But I'm like, it's going to happen this year, but that's 12 months to play with. And then I'm like, so probably will. And like, could I also, I don't know if I've got to a point of like, I guess this is another point to raise that we talk about a lot. It's like, I feel like, and this is what you're all about, Alice, is like the personal growth and the sort of self-interrogation and the kind of, growth as a couple that you go through on this journey. And so now I'm sort of like really trying to learn to like, my whole thing about 2024 is not being a control freak, trying not to be a control freak, trying not to think I have to push hard else good things can't happen.
Mm.
Can I relinquish control? Can I enjoy life again? It felt like last year I was punished myself all year and like didn't let myself have fun and got so down about it. And so I'm trying really hard. And I think like we've had conversations as a couple that, you know, we've always been emotional and talked about stuff, but like really going through some shit. Like you look, and when you're in the trenches, like that's when a marriage is like put to its test. And that's when you see like the person that you married and you're like, yes, this is the person I want to be with because we're in these horrible trenches together right now. And we're doing it. Like, it's not pretty and it's not nice and it's not the happiest days of our marriage necessarily, but you're like, bloody hell, like we really love each other and we're really in this together. Yeah. And like,
it's a big test. It's a big test, I think, of any relationship. But coming out the other side of that is always going to make you stronger. One way or another, you'll come out the other side of it. And if you come out the other side of it still together, then I think it's only going to make you a lot stronger in your relationship, because I think in that respect, it will then set you up well for parenthood, because that's going to be a whole new myriad of reasons to feel stressed and worried and whatever else. So
I saw Elizabeth Day shared a post, I think it was just before Christmas, and it was around this, you know, she's talked really openly about her fertility struggles. And from what she said, I think it's that she's not going to have a child and she sort of made her peace with that. And but she sort of said something beautiful about like that, you will come out the other side, and whether you have a baby or whether you don't, like you're going to be a better person for this experience.
Yeah.
And we sort of sat down on New Year's Eve, didn't we? And went out for dinner and we were talking about this sort of stuff. And we were like, we feel like we're doing like extra credit, like marriage extra credit. Like we're going to get like an extra certificate for marriage. And actually, what did he say? Like a swimming badge.
Yeah, like a swimming badge.
Like a brownie badge. Like we're getting like a...
I love that.
Fertility struggles badge for marriage.
I really like that analogy, actually, because it does feel like that. And it does feel like, you know, it does. And you kind of want to see it as like whatever happens, exactly as the glorious Elizabeth Day says, and one day she will be on this podcast. I'm manifesting it.
My dream came true, so can yours.
Exactly. But you know, and that's so something that I really work with a lot of my clients and my members, is that idea of, because a lot of people come to me and they're like, I've completely lost myself, and I'm like, yeah, you won't be the same person, and that's okay, because we're always evolving, and then you find new versions of yourself. And that new version brings so much.
We lost ourselves a bit, like the second half of last year, I think we lost ourselves a bit. And then I think that, and also like someone wrote to me and said that they're finding it easier the longer it goes on and their husband is finding it harder. And I feel like I am weirdly, I don't know. I don't know whether I'm finding it easier or whether, and Alice, you obviously had a longer, so you're sort of have the benefit of being on the other side and knowing what it is, the enlightenment. But I'm like, I feel like there's waves, right? So like we got these test results and then that was really down. And then now we're sort of on like we're riding a wave of hope and positivity. Yeah. And I'm sure there will come another milestone or another time or another update from the doctors or something that will send us back down.
A test result or whatever.
Exactly. And I feel like we're kind of like riding a wave at the moment of positivity and hope. But I think we know that probably it'll go down again.
Indeed, it will, which is why you need a life raft. When I say it will, I don't necessarily mean in fertility world. Who knows, you might actually end up on a high wave, but at some point, this is the thing, right? Like life is a wave and up and down, everything.
I've got a tattoo actually that says a smooth sea never made a skilled sailor.
I love it.
In life, any hardship will ultimately make you be able to deal with life better. And I got it originally just because I liked it as a quote, but I hadn't really ever been through any like proper hardship, really. Felt like a bit of a fraud. Whereas now I'm like, oh no, that actually like it does make sense. Like yeah. You have to go through tough times, but it will make you better equipped to deal with life moving forward. And so it's kind of retrospectively got meaning to it.
Oh, somewhere someone knew that this is what
you need. That.
Yeah.
I mean, it's good. I'm glad that it has got me into it, because the only other time that it looked like it had meaning is when we were sailing in Barbados and you were throwing up over the side of a boat and it looked like, man. Oh my God, why has he got, he's not a skilled sailor, clearly.
And that where it is on my arm, it's like, when if I wear a t-shirt, all you can see is like the bottom bit. So it just says a skilled sailor. So there's a picture of me like on a boat like this, like my skin was like this color, like green, just on a boat, like trying not to be sick. And it just said like a skilled sailor. I'm like,
so now you actually can have a good
story. I've actually got it for a reason now.
it's so true. And actually knowing that is it, but it's all part of it, is actually really empowering. So the next time you, if the wave does come down again, whether it's a fertility reason or another reason, this is what we can remember, is that this is all part of it, right? Like riding those waves, but making sure you got your support and all of the stuff that you need when you do have a bit of a crash. What is in your life raft right now? Like, what do you go to? What's your go-to for support when you do have like a dark couple of months, like you said?
I think exercise for both of us.
Yeah, I was going to say exercise is a big one.
Getting outside. Like, I think that we're really lucky. Like, we live near the beach. Like, we live near some beautiful like walks. So we've got this dog who's been really well behaved. I don't want to jinx it. But what's good, I think, is when you're in a good place, you've got to stock up that life raft almost and be like, remember these things. Because when you're in the dark place, it's kind of, they're not necessarily the things that you reach for, you know? Like when I get down, I don't actually go want to exercise. I know I will feel better, but I have to remind myself, like, you felt really, remember that time you felt really happy? You were getting up and seeing sunrises on the beach. You were going to your workout class. It's like, go back to that. But I think you have to remind yourself, because I don't always think you naturally go when you're down.
Oh, no, I think. But if I feel down, I'm like, right, I need to go for a long run or go to the gym and like let off some steam.
Yeah, that's so amazing.
That's great.
Yeah.
I watched all six seasons of Gossip Girl again in about a month of it, in like the whole of November. And I was like, this is really indicative of my mental state. I was just like at home, like, need to watch teenagers run around New York. I was like, can't cope with reality.
But then sometimes that is what we need, you know. I think that's the consciousness part with this stuff, you know. And that's
many fuck it days. I love your fuck it day mentality. And I was like, this is a fuck it day. I was like, I'm just not going to do work today. I'm going to put my out of office on and say that I'm sick, because I am actually not well. And I'm just going to cuddle up on the sofa and watch Gossip Girl all day. And that's what I'm doing today to cope. And that's, I know, something you endorse, which I love.
I sure do. I wave the flag for the fuck it days and the survival days, because that's the thing. I think it's really important for me, particularly as a kind of mindset coach and mentor. It's like, this is not about kind of always powering through. This is about being conscious of like where you're at and what you need day to day, you know? Okay, so right now, I promise I won't keep you much longer. You are feeling in a good place. You are feeling connected. You're feeling pretty supported. You're on the way for further investigations to continue this journey. And what would you say to other couples who might be listening that are kind of struggling a bit here and like not really feeling in that good place? Like, how did you get through those dark couple of months together as a couple?
I think it's really hard, because I think every person is unique, right? And every relationship is unique. So I think you have to remind yourselves and each other why you're together. I think like it's so easy to go off in your separate directions. And I think we need our own space sometimes. We need to feel our own feelings. But you can just, like, I think we felt so disconnected in those dark times. And it sounds so cliche, and I actually hate that this is the advice that I'm giving, but you know, we went away for a couple of days, we got out of our environment, we started doing alphabet date nights where we're like, we're doing an A, a B, a C, right, next is D, what should we do, you know? It's this kind of like really cheesy couple bonding stuff that it's working. it really is.
I think you need to nurture your own relationship, because you can't just assume that, oh, well, once, like, things are really hard at the moment, but once we have a baby, then we'll have that thing that we yes. want and then everything will be fine.
No.
You need to make sure that your relationship's in a good place first, and then whatever happens after that will happen, but you can't think, oh, we'll just keep, you know, we're not getting on, but we'll just keep having sex and we'll have this baby and then everything will be fine, because that's not how it's going to work. Like, that's, the trying for a baby is just the beginning of the next, you know, yeah. chapter of your life. So I think you need to nurture your relationship and then use that as the building blocks and the foundation to, like,
and also it's on. Like, I think sometimes it can feel like arbitrary, because it's like, you don't want to, I remember, do you remember that night that we went to the Taylor Swift Candlelight concert thing, and it was like, I got in such a state, and it became this thing of like, we put this date night on a pedestal of like, we just want to go out and having a nice time. We never have a nice time anymore. And now we're crying and this is shit. And so let's just not go. And it all got really heated and intense. And we sort of just decided, right, we're going to go and we might have a shit time and we're not going to get dressed up and we're not going to pretend everything's fine, but we're going to get out the house. And, you know, we had an okay time. Like, you know, we got a bit tearful and we went for one drink and then we're like, should we just go home? We're knackered, you know? So it wasn't this beautiful, amazing date night, but we had got out of the house and we had gone and done something together, but we'd allowed ourselves to feel shit whilst we did it. And I think, like, that's actually really helpful, because, like, you know, you don't know how you're going to feel next week, and you might have planned something lovely and then you get disappointed that the lovely thing is ruined by you feeling sad. But it's like, you can feel sad and still sort of have a nice time together in a weird way. And I think,
yeah,
allowing ourselves to do that was a bit of a breakthrough, actually.
Yeah.
Because I think we were like, it's either going to be a really nice date night, or we're sat inside crying, or maybe there's somewhere in the middle. Maybe it's just going for a dog walk around the block and getting out of the house. And it doesn't have to be romantic and beautiful. It can just be keeping moving forward and keeping coming back to each other. Which I think, like, as you said, like, I think that's something we said a lot. You know, we don't know what this year holds for us, but this year is either going to hold for us a baby and parenthood, or it's going to hold more challenges in the fertility space. Either of those, we need to be strong. And I think you're right. I think a lot of people think having a baby will fix the problems, but I don't think that's true. I actually think that you growing through these challenges will make you amazing parents and make your marriage stronger if you can keep coming back to each other. So yeah.
These are very wise words, guys. Very wise.
And do a nice podcast. Everyone should do a podcast, and it sort of feels a bit like couples therapy.
Has it been weird? Has it been? What's it been like having this conversation?
Oh, it's been just like I dreamt it. But it's been great. It's been really nice.
I think you've done, I don't fancy you quite a lot, actually. You just, like, yeah, I think, and maybe this is
I'm
why.
Well, I'm well practiced, is why.
Because you've been in the car practicing, yeah. Okay. No, but I just think, like, it is, and I actually, maybe that's some other advice. Like, we're currently looking into couples therapy, and I think that, like, even having this conversation shows you, it's like, when you're both going to each other all the time, it's actually, it's kind of helpful to have a third party.
Yeah.
Like, ask you both and give each other space and actually reflect things back at you.
A referee,
you know. And I think that that's obviously therapy, like testing, like private healthcare, are privileges that not everyone has. And, you know, but I think don't be ashamed if that's something that you start to think, maybe we should go and see a couple's therapist. Because I think there's a lot of people go like, we don't need therapy.
I always felt like there's this thing about couples therapy. It's like, well, if you need to go to therapy, then, like, your relationship's already doomed, because if you need, like, a professional to, like, help you through it, then that's just a sign that you're, like, your relationship's fucked and it's not going to work. And I think I used to have that feeling towards it, being like, oh, well, that's almost like admitting defeat, like going to therapy. But it's not, like, it works for people. That's otherwise there wouldn't be any couples therapists. Like, it wouldn't be a thing.
It's like, that's so unbelievably backward, isn't it? Because actually doing that and taking ownership and being like, we're going through something really hard right now, and actually talking about it is going to help us more. And I love you so much that I really want this marriage to be amazing, so let's go and get all the support. Like, I'm always, it doesn't baffle me, because I understand where it comes from, but I'm just like, oh my God, get the support. Like, just whatever the support looks like, whatever is available, lap it up, take it, because it's that's going to just make your experience better in so many ways.
And that's the thing, if you know, like as Mike said, whether we're talking about therapy or just even feeling like your relationship is suffering, I think like infertility world, failure is something that so many of us feel like constantly, you know, and don't put then, oh my God, now my marriage is struggling or my partnership is struggling, we're a failure. It's like it's completely normal and understandable. Like we're going through, like everyone on this journey, like we're going through trauma after trauma after trauma, month after month after month, and it grinds you down. And it's the biggest challenge, you know, many couples will, or the first big challenge many couples will face. And if you are struggling and you're finding it hard and you're doubting your relationship sometimes or angry at your partner, like you're not alone. Just like, you know, I think this is constantly, you know, the message from the fertility space is that you're not alone. You're not alone. And I think that extends to your marriage is struggling or yeah. Your partnership is struggling. And I think that's maybe something that's not talked about enough. I'm really glad that you invited us on to have this conversation. And I'm really grateful that Mike is, you know, I decided to share our journey and Mike's been really supportive of that. And actually, I think it's so often we hear a male perspective or a female perspective and we don't often get the two together and talking about relationship stuff. And so I'm really glad that we've had the opportunity to share this and I hope it helps some people.
I'm sure it will. I really think it will. I've just realized that there's like quite a major thing that I wanted to ask you about, which you'll probably guess what I'm going to say. I'm just going to really quickly throw it in there, which might just be like a real left field random thing. But has it affected how you feel about sex?
Is it shagging? Do you want to talk about shagging?
I want to talk about shagging. How is that being affected?
Oh my God, now? Well, oh. Are we going to talk about
Konging and Schlonging? Right, let me tell you about...
This is the debut of Konging and Schlonging.
Let me talk to you about a little setup.
Oh my God, I'm actually so hot and like I'm getting so red.
Konging and Schlonging, right? So we've got a dog called Fergie, and every morning when she wants her breakfast, she will scratch at the door and jump on our bed and wake us up.
And generally in life won't leave us alone. Yeah. So it's a big cock blocker, basically.
Massive cock blocker. If we ever like try and like, she could be like asleep downstairs and we could try and sneak off upstairs. And within like 2 minutes, she's just woken up now because she can hear me talking about her. She's like scratching at the door. And it's a real mood killer when you're trying to like get down to it and you've just got like. So anyway, dogs can have these little round things called Kongs that you can fill with food. And it basically, it's like a little game for them and they like throw it around and a bit of food comes out and then they can eat it and it makes it last longer. So so what we'll do, the night before, if it's the day we're having sex, because Connie's got a calendar with all the sex days on it, the night before, we'll put all of her food into these two Kongs and then in the morning, one of us will get up, yeah, all right, we'll give you breakfast, put the Kongs down,
and she's
Konging, we're Schlonging.
Konging
and Schlonging.
So yeah, that tells you everything you need to know.
Yeah. If I go downstairs like, in the evening and first see Connie like
so our
food in the Kong, I'm like, oh yes,
we've yeah. Our foreplay is now shoving dog food into this dog toy. It's disgusting. I mean, apart from that,
you asked.
I did. No, that was not the answer I was expecting, but no,
I think okay. So Konging and Schlonging aside, which is very much the fixture of our sex life at the moment, but I think that. Yes, it has. I would say, correct me if I'm wrong, once we're having sex, it absolutely, like, it's not changed, nothing's changed.
Yeah, no, yeah, the actual sex itself hasn't changed.
No, and I think, like, quite frankly, we're probably having more sex, so you're, really?
Yeah.
So, and I think that, like, the nice thing is that we then are having sex out when we're not trying for a baby, but, like, it sort of just gets you, like, oh, we're having sex quite regularly, which, like, after 10, 11 years, I think it's, like, nice, like, to kind of get back rhythm of like doing it way more regularly. But I think that there have been, again, I think when we've been in the down times, there's been a couple of times where like you've not really wanted to do it, but it was kind of like the time, but you were like, I'm not feeling great. And then there's been times when I've not been feeling great.
Yeah.
And I had cystitis and I got all really upset because I didn't want to do it, but I was like, well, I've got to. And so there have been times where we've been like, we don't want to do this really. And then we kind of like, we haven't, or sometimes we said, do you know what, let's just not. And actually in November we actively didn't try because we were both so feeling so raw emotionally that we were like, we don't want to be having sex and forcing ourselves to have sex when we're really not in a good place, like our relationship wasn't in a good place, both of our mental health wasn't a good place. And so we just decided we're just going to take the fertile window shagging like off the agenda for the month and just focus on.
It came back to that thing about making sure we're good before.
Yeah, rather than pushing on with this, with sex when we're just not in a good place. Like it just felt really icky, like to be honest. Like,
yeah.
And so I guess maybe because of that, I feel like it hasn't impacted our sex life that much because I guess we've just, if it's felt wrong, then we have just not done it. Like we have just said, and you know, sometimes that's made me think, oh God, like maybe that was our chance. But I think that's the kind of narrative that I've just decided I need to let go of. Like, it's like just because you didn't have sex that one day, it's not like, oh, well, that was the day you were going to get pregnant and you've ruined it because you were feeling sad and didn't want to have sex. Like, that's not how this works. This is how this is going to work. So I think, we've not given in to pressure, I guess, is one thing that we've done to maintain a healthy, happy sex life.
Yeah.
Conging and shonging. And the scheduling as well. Like, I think, and something that...
You do have to actually schedule and make time for it as well. Because, like, we both work. Sometimes I work weird night hours, like night shifts and super early starts and that sort of thing. So it's really easy to... suddenly you've missed your chance, your fertile window, you've only actually had sex once instead of like four times within that kind of space. So you do have to actually plan, and it doesn't sound sexy to plan it, but ultimately you do have to, because otherwise life gets in the way and you'll just stress yourself out because you'll be thinking, oh, we should have had sex this morning. Right, let's have sex now then, because we missed our chance earlier, and then that's when it would become sort of unenjoyable. Whereas if you plan ahead and you know, then it's almost like it's quite fun, isn't it? Yeah.
And that's what I was going to say, was I'm going to attribute this quote to Esther Perel, but it might not have been Esther Perel, but someone who talks about sex and relationships a lot, a smarter person than me, you know, once said that, you know, there's this myth that sex is spontaneous when it's fun, and when we're younger, it's so spontaneous. It's like, no, even if you meet someone a night out and take them home, how much planning has gone in that? You've shaved your legs, like you bought a cool dress to wear out. You know, it's like not much sex is completely spontaneous, even though there are signs that feel spontaneous. There is a lot of forward thought and forward planning that goes into sex in general. So when you're in a relationship, when you're trying for a baby, you've been together 11 years, when you've been married, you know, putting a date in the diary, being like, we're having sex that day. Like, okay, that can seem a bit clinical, or it can seem like that's exciting and we put that in the diary and like, you know, that's going to happen, and like that's nice.
So it's a choice, isn't it? You can decide. You can be like, well, I can think of this as, you know, annoying and whatever, and organized sex is not fun, or I can be like, organized sex is fun.
It's like if you're an organized, like, oh, Friday night we're going to go on a date, I'm going to take you for a really nice dinner, we're going to go for a few drinks afterwards, you'd be like looking forward to that, being like, oh great. You wouldn't be going, oh, I wish you just turned up on Friday and like whisked me off to a restaurant, like without telling me. It's nice.
And I mean, planning makes me horny personally. So like for me, it's like an absolute aphrodisiac. Like I love organized fun. So this is my dream.
Oh, guys, you've been absolutely amazing. Thank you. Thank you for being so open and choosing to share your story, because it will absolutely be so helpful for lots and lots of people that are listening to this. And Connie, I know we haven't spoken about it, but you've been doing this really cool kind of series on your Instagram about being about slowing down.
Yeah.
Slow down to get knocked up. You've been sharing loads of different things you're doing. So people will go and follow Connie. What's your Instagram again? Connie Longdon, isn't it?
It's at Connie LJ. And yeah, last year I started sharing Slow Down to Get Knocked Up, which was just like things of me, as you might tell from this podcast, quite a highly strung person. I was like, and again, organized fun. I was like, how can I relax? I know, I'll make a whole Instagram series about my project to relax. Because I've got some amazing friends in the fertility space, I'm now going to be sharing more stuff. I need to get you on, Alice, to do some expert sharing of knowledge and all sorts of things. And sometimes I do just little rants about how fertility is annoying. So it's it's really lovely that I've started sharing and the responses I've got, and it's amazing. And please, come and say hello. And if I don't come back to you, it's because I don't get back to even my closest friends. I'm the most rubbish communicator on social media, so don't take it personally, but please do.
But it's really great. It's great content, and people were really, I think people are really relating to that. And Mike, do you want people to follow you?
No, I don't post anything interesting. No.
You're kind of
I went on your Instagram the other day and I thought, if anyone's like thinking, let me check out Connie's husband, it just really looks like you love me.
Yeah, it's just pictures of me and Connie and me and Fergie, the dog.
And I was like, people are like, this man really loves his wife.
Yeah.
Well, that's really sweet.
Yeah,
something,
yeah. Don't
now you've got a taste for the fertility fame of the podcast.
Oh, yeah, I'm going to change my bio to podcaster. But other than that.
I will definitely be sharing everything. And you've mentioned a few really helpful things that I know people will be interested in hearing more about as well. So I'll pop those in the show notes. But yeah, a huge thank you. And I'm going to let you go. I've eaten into your evening. So yeah, and I had to reschedule, didn't I? So yeah, my bad. But you are now free to go.
Oh, Alice.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you so much, Alice.
Take care, guys.
All right, thank you. Bye.
Hang on, I don't
know.
Are you going to stop recording?
I'm going to pause recording. I did a
really
awful thing.
And now a word from our sponsor.
Hold on, sorry. Let's do that again. Right. Thank you so much for being on the show. I'll send everyone over to you to follow you, Connie, on Instagram. And is it okay if people do want to ask you questions, Mike, on Instagram? Is it an open...
Yeah, totally, yeah. Yeah, I'm only joking, you can. It's _ Mike Bird is my handle. But yeah, if anyone gets in touch, I'll definitely be up for having a chat with them for sure. Oh, yeah,
that's amazing. Thank you so much, guys.
Thank you so much, Alex. Thank you for listening, everyone. Bye.